Y2K is the new horror comedy from writer-director Kyle Mooney being released by A24. This one stars Jaden Martell, Julian Dennison, and Rachel Zegler in a film about a disastrous Y2K scenario, the one that we all feared, technology coming to ruin all of our lives. Yeah. It is a film in the mold of something like This Is the End, where lots of things go wrong simultaneously. Society collapses and partiers are left running into the cold, dark night with nothing but their wits. I think there was a lot of anticipation for this one. This was one of the early movies they screened here at South by Southwest. Mm-hmm. Did this movie live up to your hype for it?
I would say it did not live up to the hype, sadly. I think it started strong. It started like it was going to live up to the hype because, like, there's a combination. Like, you and me, we're the same age.
Yeah.
So we have very clear memories, I imagine, of that what people thought was going to happen when things rolled over. Like, we literally thought computers could not handle going from a 1 to a 2.
Yeah, that planes would fall out of the sky and the global information system collapsed.
Just ridiculous. People thought, like, credit card stuff was going to get wiped. Like, it was, like, wild. They thought it was going to be a whole collapse. So seeing that kind of realized through a movie while also kind of getting these, like, throwbacks to things like, you know, like, AIM again and just, like, certain music choices and just, like, vibes like that. It was, like, very cool, very exciting. It was a little bit surreal that, like, the person next to me, somebody said something, and I looked at her and I was like, were you not alive? And she was like, no. And I was like,
2000.
But you're here alone? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, you're allowed to be alone and you weren't alive in the year 2000? Oh, no, that's right. We're 2024. Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah.
That hurt. It hurt me inside.
Definitely makes me feel old.
Yeah, very old. But
they're not eligible for the youth pass starting next year. How's that feel?
God, it's so weird. But it was like, I love the beginning of this movie. I think it does start so strong. It does have a lot of the prototypical, like, this is the kind of nerdy guy who, Heart of Gold, the girl, like, Rachel Zegler is that, like, she's the popular girl, but she's actually really nice, and there's nothing wrong about
her. It's like
Superbad. I was about to say, a little bit of a Superbad vibe off with the friendship.
That's exactly it. You know, the nerdy friendship, it's really cute. They make these little figurines of, like, that 70s show character, and, like, that people don't actually always acknowledge how much of a stranglehold that 70s show really had for a while. Like, that was, like, one of the biggest shows out there. And it's just, like, so there's a lot of really fun moments as it's building into it. I really believe it. Just the dynamic between people trying to, like, build, like the relationships and just make it through high school and get invited to parties, kind of like the Superbad, not the Superbad, and, like, book smart, nerdy kids. Just, we're going to go even if we're not invited. We're just going to go, you know? So it's, like, really starting strong. And then it is, unfortunately, kind of when it starts flipping more into the horror side of thing that the movie does lose it for quite a bit. There's a decision made early on that we will not spoil that kind of just derails the movie.
It takes a lot of the air out of the movie.
And I think they could, for a while, I was really hoping that they were going to go back on it. I thought it's a horror comedy. You don't have to be so grounded in reality that if something looks like it happened, it doesn't need to have actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, you know, there's certain song uses, and I'm like, it would have set up for that so perfectly. You play that song in the background, and then something happens, and you're like, yes, perfect. This is what I needed. And that's not what happens, sadly. It kind of turns into, like, more of a, not memorial type thing, but just kind of like a, this is how we're going to, like, emotionally get together in the end. Still a lot of fun moments, though. I do like the resolution, how it ends up playing out in the end, and certain characters that appear are fun. It does kind of have this, like, kind of like fun party vibe movie that I feel like if you were just kind of, like, all vibing and drinking and talking, like, the shortcomings might not be as noticeable. But yeah, sorry, I'm totally stealing the microphone, but just, yeah, I don't think it's a bad movie by any mean. I do think it hits a lull. I do think it's just going to be, like, fun for people of, I don't know, our generation, just to kind of have the beginning. I don't know how people that have no frame of reference for that time are going to engage with it. That's what I would like to know. And I need honest reviews.
Yeah, because it's also, like, it has a lot of those touchstones of the, like, you know, late 90s, early aughts, but it's not quite, like, a full recreation of it in the way that, like, DD felt like it was transporting us back
like
to 2008.
And
this movie, like, there are things that they include that happened a little bit after the year 2000. There's, like, a flash animation that's a little bit more like late 2000s.
There's a song that literally was made for the Queen of the Damned soundtrack, and that came out in 2000. 2003?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, definitely not 2000.
Yeah, definitely not 2000.
Definitely not Y2K era.
Yeah.
So, but it is a looser movie than those other films we're mentioning. It's a horror comedy, so I don't want to nitpick those elements. The elements that I want to nitpick are the comedy, the horror, which did not work for me.
That's fair.
There are some, like, bursts of stupidity that are funny in like an SNL blunt way. I mean, makes sense
some
given Kyle Mooney's background.
For sure.
You have characters like bravely attempting a thing and then suddenly getting undercut.
Yeah.
Which I don't know. Pretty faithfully works.
Yeah.
In comedies, I just felt like it really went nowhere. It had about as much depth as an SNL sketch, and I almost wish it stayed as something like that.
Because
it has this whole element of like technology coming to sort of kill them, and then it doesn't really do any. It's just kind of like a chase movie that's very unmotivated. The characters are just sort of, you know, in this bubble, and I don't know, it felt very, very unmotivated to me.
No, I can totally agree with that. I will admit I was a little, not drunk, just tipsy, very tipsy.
You're enjoying yourself.
I was enjoying myself.
We're at South by Southwest.
I was enjoying myself that evening. So I do think, you know, walking out, I think I enjoyed it more than I might have had I gone in stone cold sober, which is fine, I guess. I agree. It does kind of have like this aimlessness to it that I think they all try to bring back to one character, that it would have just been better if that character was just present the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like one of the bigger issues with that movie. I still think it's like worth the watch, you know? Like, I think this is going to be like, I'm assuming it's getting a theatrical release. I think they're still deciding what to do with it.
A24, right? So.
But they don't know when it is yet. I did ask. Yeah. They aren't sure yet. So it's interesting. I do want, and I want genuine reactions. I would love to talk to somebody who is kind of more of like the current Gen Z who are people who are their age right now that aren't Rachel Zegler fans. I need you to not be a fan of Rachel to tell me what you think of the movie. Because she's great in it, but that's kind of what everybody's defaulting to right now.
Yes, I feel like people are saying Rachel Zegler is great to avoid saying this movie's bad.
That's fair.
Art, you have some Kyle Mooney appreciation from your Brigsby days.
Yeah, this was in my top three.
Yeah, I know. We were stoked. We were excited for this. So, I told Mooney that.
I know.
I told him in person.
You were like, Arturo Zurita Jr.
Yeah.
Is looking forward to your movie.
Yeah.
Man, I struggled to give it 3 stars. Yeah. Like, that was, it got rough.
Yeah.
There's this bit for Stranger Things and all the 80s stuff where you're like, oh, this is just nostalgia bait. And now it's our era that's getting the full nostalgia bait. I know you were saying, you guys had mentioned Dee Dee. Dee Dee feels like we're in that time period.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, this is a period piece.
Yes.
What's happening here? What is this kid going to do to get through AIM or all this other stuff that's happening?
Using Facebook to get
this?
Like the, yeah.
This had nothing to do with nothing. This was just memories. Like you said, the reason, what is it? It's not anachronistic, but the memory that he's having of music being played at that time period are memories that he's confusing from 01 to the 90s.
Yeah.
And it's like, got it. That's your whole approach to this
thing. It's the vibe. He wanted the vibe of the goth kids. We're going to use, Jonathan Davis' song from Queen of the Damned.
Exactly. Right. I think he blew into a cartridge while the game was still on. He just needed to show you blowing into a cartridge.
Right. A little
they
bit
showed
like
a Tamagotchi just to show the who brought the Tamagotchi?
I like the song.
And it was a lot of that where I was just like, okay, got it. If you don't know any of this, does it matter to you? So then it got to the points of the 90s that meant dick to me. I did not understand some of the bands. I did not understand some of those people. And then
that,
they become
for me.
A pivotal part of the movie. And I'm like, oh, this is him just venting.
This is for elder millennials.
This is for Kyle Mooney.
Kyle Mooney. And it's weird because I'd say it's for elder millennials, but I also feel like a lot of them might not like it. I feel like it's for elder millennials who might have like young teen kids right now.
Right. Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Like my friends who had kids out of high school.
I'm struggling to think of who the audience is because it's got this real base level to the comedy.
Because this is the audience right here.
And it worked. And what worked for me did work for me. It's kind of when they abandon it, because like I remember the girls wearing the red backwards cap and I was like, that's Fred Durst.
There's a lot of funny
stuff
Fred
Durst
there.
And then that's Fred Durst.
There's some really good bits.
I keep going back to the idea of it as like an SNL sketch that got extended, unfortunately,
because
there, like, there are moments that are funny, but it's not it doesn't feel like moments that are being built to. It feels just like this was a good joke
and
let's
put
this joke
that's there fair. Is a basketball hoop that's on the floor like a railing.
Yeah,
that scene is like 5 seconds. It's funny.
It's funny.
Yeah,
it's stupid. And then like nothing in the story makes sense. All the heart is completely gone. And something like Superbad or Booksmart, that is something you keep.
You
I did not
heart.
Care for any of the characters by the end of this movie. It's really over the top SNL sketch type stupidity, which is you know, maybe good for a short, but for a feature, yeah, holy smokes.
I almost wish in some points it went dumber, because when they take away
the, there you go.
When they take away that like stupid sense of humor and try to like give you the story of this nerd, whatever, it just doesn't, there's no character there for you to actually latch onto.
I agree.
The way that the story progresses and how they ultimately like overcome things in the end just sort of, it's like thrown out there. It doesn't feel like logical.
Yeah, we know it's going to be dumb and everything. But
go full bottoms. Right, exactly. Which is kind of what I was expecting it to be.
I think South by was too, given the way they programmed this movie. Yeah,
it got the Saturday night prime Paramount slot, and honestly, it was full. It deserved that, at least for the viewership that was going to be there.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Also awkward Q&A. One of the most awkward Q&As for a young cast
Fred Durst was doing a bit where he was acting as if all the events in the movie were real.
They must have told him to do it.
And he's not that talented at comedy.
No.
It worked for me.
Nobody got what
I got
he was
it.
Doing
they say in Sing Sing?
I got it.
I'm not taking the comedic role. That's the hardest thing to do.
I got it, though. I was like, I get it. But I was, again, not drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was up on stage. He was like completely. I just got videos of him
he's funny.
Just standing like that. Yes. He looked like he was about to go rolling.
It's very interesting for him to be in two movies with such vastly different performances to the point that he's like even knowing it's him in another movie, he's unrecognizable.
Yeah, so mention the other one for the other movie because I did not believe you. Like that, him playing the father in that shows me that he's got something if you have the right director.
Jane talked about that. Jane literally said, I need someone who. Oh, I can't even remember what they said, but it was like so
director,
perfect.
Yeah.
It was just something like
to know that that was the
It was like I need someone that's just going to be so uncharacteristic for this, but it's such a presence.
Exactly. And what Kyle Mooney did was the complete opposite. It was his memory of the guy, and it's like
it's
got a Make-A-Wish day with him to just do the goofiest things in the movie, and it was not funny for me.
It worked for me because it's like. I knew, because like I said, there's a girl wearing a backwards red hat, and I was is such a Fred Durst. I didn't think he was going to be in the movie. I thought that was going to be my question. I was going to be like, was the backwards red hat supposed to be a Fred Durst thing? And then Fred Durst shows up, and I was like, well, obviously. Also would have ended the movie with a different song. It was, I would have done that as a bit, do a couple things, and then him be like, nah, break shit, you know? So that it makes sense thematically with what's happening with the rest of the movie. But either way.
I know people like Rachel. Shout out Julian Dennison.
Julian's a king.
We're missing that TIFF movie that he did a couple of years ago. Was it good?
I saw Uproar. That was this year.
It actually just came out on VOD.
I thought it was...
But it was last year TIFF, right?
Last year
2023. TIFF. Yeah. I liked it. I think it was a little... messy. I think there was a lot of ideas, and I don't know how well the movie fully pulled them together, but he's great as always.
A
lot of heart.
He always like jumps off the screen.
He does, especially with those
and
roles.
On stage. He was funny.
Yes, especially in those roles where he's allowed to kind of be engaging with his Polynesian heritage from New Zealand and whatnot. He was funny in this. He had no patience for dumb questions.
Yes, he had no patience for dumb questions.
But he was answering them in a funny, nice way, not in a way that you felt like,
He even does dumb stuff in the movie that I thought was actually pretty funny.
I agree.
And they're like elongated bits that I'm like, it's your essence, your vibe, your approach to it that makes you singing a cover of like the most belligerent 90s song.
I know.
Yeah.
Funny.
And then, you just need the sauce, and he's got the
sauce.
So. And you know, shout out Jaden. I know you guys got to see him in the other movie as well.
Yeah,
he's a good actor.
Jaden. Jaden is as good as they're using him.
Yes, I think Jaden is a good actor who didn't have a whole lot to do in this movie.
As the lead, which is
he plays straight comedy well.
Yeah.
He's not Michael Cera.
He's one of those like empty lead characters that's there for other people to work
off of.
And, part of what doesn't work is there's also not much of a character for Rachel Zegler. Like, she's kind of just like,
that's the thing.
You know, she's just sort of like the dream girl, and she's got like this slight
the walk and, she's really and nice. Talk that they did in the forest about like how tough it is to be popular. I know they make fun of her, but it was like that was a rough conversation to have her say.
Because like, we've not, seen not that to, done better this festival.
Exactly. Yeah. Just not, it's not her fault. It's just.
It's not her fault. She's great and nice.
Yeah.
But.
It's more so a story. Also, Kyle Mooney is in the movie.
He's in the movie.
A lot. And he's funny sometimes, but other times it's just like, bro.
Well, it's one of the only like distinct comedic characters. Like a character where it's like, I get what your joke is.
Yeah.
But they lean on it. It's the same. A lot.
I'm going to hit you with this. We have two movies that got double directors, both kind of comedies. Cassie David. Or him.
Did we see this on the same day as well?
No.
No?
It was. Yeah, it was same day. That was the same day.
I think
day.
It was the first and last movie Saturday. We saw on Saturday.
Yeah.
A huge gulf between them. I ended up going 2 stars on Y2K. I did not like this movie.
I was at a 3.5 and I bumped it down to a 3 as of right now.
So you think Cassie David directing, acting better than
much better.
Kyle Mooney?
Yeah.
Directing, acting?
Yeah, because I also do think that like Cassie knows her strengths, but then also wasn't arrogant enough to make herself the lead.
Yeah.
Right. Not that I think that Kyle Mooney was arrogant. That wasn't what I was trying to say. But sometimes people do that and they write themselves into the lead and it's a problem.
No, you're right. Cassie shared the screen with some other people. Man had some shots just on his own.
That's right.
Lies he's been waiting to say.
They injected a Kyle Mooney sketch into this movie.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
Through and through. Like if SNL was cutting out his scenes, he's like, I get to put every single one back in. So I'm happy for him. He gave me Brigsby Bear, obviously with a better directing from
David McCary.
Boy, he had... But I'm happy for him. It was a fun night. You had a blast.
I had a blast. I had a good night.
I didn't hate it. I'm like straggling right there at a 3 because there were some jokes that really did hit.
Yeah.
But there's too much dumb. And it makes me want to go to a 2.5 at all. So I'm being nice right now at a 3. So
my thing is that it's not rotten. You know, when I put it, it's not going to be a rotten review for me on a Rotten Tomatoes. But it is kind of one of those ones where you wish they had a like, it's starting to go bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little too ripe. It's a little overripe. Yeah. It needs some tightening. I do think it just needs a little bit more direction in the middle. And I just needed someone to be like, why did you make this decision? That was a terrible decision. And I'm sure someone was like, but that's going to be the emotional
through line. We all agree on that.
You could have done something else for the emotional through line. There's other ways to handle this. That's kind of my big thing there.
I will say. I completely blinked on what I was about to say, but I was going to say something. It was really profound, and when I remember
it. Perfunctory, even? Well,
let's just react like you just said or something. Wow.
Whoa, yeah,
that puts the whole movie in a new 100%. Light for me.
Exactly.
I can't remember what it was.
I want to revisit it for sure. I will say, I was a little tired. Again, not drunk, but and I was awake. I stayed awake the whole time, so it was good. I got real cozy. I was like,
let's put that as a poster. Y2K, I stayed awake the
whole time.
No.
And then the second one, IMDb does have it at 6.9. So mission accomplished.
I think a lot of people are going to have a lot of fun with it. I don't think it's necessarily doing anything over the top special. If you like horror comedies, obviously it's worth checking out. I'm a big fan of that genre to begin with, so I'm always going to be a little bit easier on it. I would say we were kind of saying it's similar to Hell of a Summer, but Hell of a Summer definitely has more of a consistent through line. It is better from start to finish in that, but I think they both make similar mistakes where they do something at a point where they should have held back longer. You just need to hold back on certain things longer for either better horror, better comedy, better soul, just and that's kind of the big spirit. Just those are the kind of the issues here.
I like what Zach said about this is the end. I think that's actually a really good comparison.
Like that. It feels like that.
And where they split is where I think Y2K goes bad, because at least that one had the ability, the one Zach mentioned, to rely on its own jokes and to rely on what we like know them to be.
Yeah.
And here I feel we're still setting up characters. Like, what is the girl to the group?
Yeah.
Who wears the Fred Durst hat? Who is Rachel Zegler other than Rachel Zegler, the cute girl in the movie? Yeah. Janie Martel is always Janie Martel, right?
He's different in Arcadian, actually. He does they gave him more to work with there.
Well, he wasn't different here, and that's the thing.
Yeah.
But Y2K.
He's cool.
One of my most anticipated, and I hope it still hits for people when it comes out.
I think it will for some people. I think it will. But just, I'd say go in with, good expectations. I would say it feels like a Netflix movie. I know it's an A24 movie, and I don't even mean that as an insult, because the best horror comedy out of the festival, Netflix did pick up, and it is a Netflix movie.
Keep with the 90s. It's like a Walmart VHS.
Yeah.
Did they have those back in the day?
You know what they did have in this movie, which I appreciated? A video rental store that wasn't a Blockbuster.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah. Felt very extreme.
It feels like anytime we're doing a period piece where you have to be in a video rental store, it's like, let's get the old Blockbuster logo out.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought some of the stuff that they did online, it was like they brought it back to Dancing Baby. Again, low-hanging fruit stuff, but it's all there. And I thought we had a couple of reactions from people.
For sure. Yeah. So, yeah.
Got a bunch of confused kids sitting next to Amanda.
There's one girl. She was really nice. She was like, because I was like, I'm drunk. I'll sit two seats away from you. She's like, no, it'll be, you're better than like a weird guy. And I was like, your funeral. Okay.
All right, so mix the negative, I think, across the board. On
Yeah, I just wish the apocalypse did happen so we wouldn't have to.
Or, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of disappointing because this is such a, this is going to sound like the meanest thing I say.
Please.
I think it's kind of depressing that this has now been done and it's going to be hard for someone else to do it better.
Ooh. Mm. Ooh, it's a good name to take.
Concept, Y2K. Yeah. And just that whole thing, because I remember being at daycare because I went like, I went to like an after school daycare. It was like summer. It was winter. So it was like, and we remember we were like really freaking out that like weird things were going to happen. Yeah. And it was like, it almost in some ways it had the same kind of buzz. And this is going to sound not remotely similar, but being like 1 year later, 9/11 mm-hmm. and just the way that people were like, this is going to happen and this is going to happen. And they're going to try to blow up our nuclear factory because we're right there. We're so close. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it was that kind of weird buzz where we legitimately didn't understand what was going to happen, but like people were actually scared.
Rachel brought up 2012. I thought that was 2012. Also
yeah. Because like, that would be the closest thing for like, but even then, like I do think Y2K was like more than 2012.
Y2K was
Y2K was founded in a belief that was not just like some ancient Mayan calendar. Yeah.
Exactly. It was like
something we've been messing up the last 30 years with our digits.
We didn't think the computers were going to come to life. We thought everything was going to crash and it was going to ruin like the housing markets. It was going to destroy credit cards. It was going to just any
records. It was like a task force from the White House too, which obviously is going to scare people. You're like, wait, what?
That's what I mean. Like they really just had no idea.
There's a good documentary on HBO that they put out right at the end of last year if you wanted some context. So it was a good job with it. So some homework before Y2K.
Homework. Yeah, do some homework.
That's good recommendation for a high school based movie, right? Homework.
Yeah, totally.